see trees of green, red roses too.
Hello, this is Ed Cohen, editor of Global Business News and your broadcast host on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com, coming to you today from Old Town in San Diego, California.
Our guest is Mr. Farid Wallach from Society of Human Resources Management based in Washington, D.C. He is their global markets executive. Let's welcome Howard Wallach.
Hi, Ed. Thank you for having me.
I want to learn about what your job is at SHRM, but first, tell us what the new SHRM is all about.
SHRM is the largest membership-based human resource management association in the world. We currently have close to 283,000 members in 177 countries and territories around the world. What's new about SHRM is not only that we're constantly innovating with new initiatives like our SHRM certification, our academic initiative, our HR competency model, and HR competency diagnostic tools, but we ourselves at SHRM have become a global organization. We have offices in India, China, and Dubai, and over the last decade, we have grown both organically, with people joining from around the world, but also intentionally. So in addition to the three offices I mentioned overseas, we've built a large network of partners that deliver SHRM content around the world. And as of today, we have just over 40 different organizations authorized to deliver SHRM content in about 50 different countries and territories. So that's the new SHRM. We're innovating. We're trying to lead the HR profession with thought leadership, research, certification, but we're also a global organization.
Let's talk about global and the phrase global HR. So is global HR a different animal than it was, say, 5 years ago?
I think it is. A couple of things that have happened in the world is that globalization is having its ups and downs, but is not going away. So there's some things that are happening because of technology, and not just mergers, acquisitions, but globalization affects companies of all sizes now, and there are companies that are born global from the get-go. So years and years ago, people used to talk about global business and people starting with a product that then they exported, then they had some success with it, so they'd create distributorships, then they might invest abroad to produce it and possibly have mergers and acquisitions or then in direct foreign investments. Today, with the internet, there's companies that are global from the get-go, particularly in service industries and software development. So skills and the mindset to manage requires people who are flexible and adaptive, but think differently than they did years ago, because the structures and the ways we do work have changed considerably.
So how can HR, as a leader of people, create in local organizations and local people a global mindset so that they could understand diverse talent and diverse needs? What is the education requirement, or what do you think global HR should be to help a local organization develop a global mindset?
Global HR professionals themselves have to understand the drivers of globalization well, that globalization is a complex interplay of technology, trade, financial transactions, the mobility of people, the mobility and transfer of information and data. So HR professionals themselves first have to understand that. And then sometimes they have to help employees and managers understand that as well. Just as like we say in the HR profession that we want people to see a line of sight to what they do, we need to make sure that people see their connection to the global economy. I speak frequently for SHRM and give talks about global HR, and when I start, I'll ask people how many of them in the room are from multinationals, and I'll get a show of hands. And then I'll ask, regardless of title or company, how many people in the room consider themselves globalists, small g globalists. And I'm lucky if one person raises their hands. Then I'll ask them to think, both men and women, what do they own, what do they have in their purses, what do they have in their wallets, what do they drive, and remind people that by virtue of both being employees and consumers, were all global. So I drive a Honda, but it was produced in Alabama. Our clothes may be English wool, but they may have been assembled in a clothing operation in another country. Our cell phones may be Korean, or when it was BlackBerry's, you know, a Canadian platform, but the actual device may have been produced in China or Mexico. So people have to understand the drivers of globalization, how they participate in the global economy. And then for HR, people have to understand that there's a lot of complexities in recruitment, in engagement, and in motivating people around the world that may, in fact, differ by culture. And so there's a complex interplay of different factors happening at the same time. And HR has to both understand them and then be willing to do a little bit of coaching and education on those.
In order to get HR better qualified, SHRM has recently embarked on a competency program. Would you please tell us about this new SHRM HR competency program?
The SHRM competency model is something that the board and the leadership began investing in close to 5 years ago. And people in our research department and some individuals, particularly my colleague, Dr. Alex Alonso, did a lot of research on existing competency models and then did research to develop a competency model specifically for HR. So there's lots of competency models, there's a lot of leadership models, but this is particularly for HR. And they conducted focus groups around the world, nearly 100 of them, and approximately close to 40 of those were done outside the United States. We couldn't do every country, but we hit every major region of the world. And now those focus groups were done at four different levels: entry level, mid-career, senior, and executive, meaning vice president or EVP or CHRO, Chief Human Resource Officer. After that was done, they also did a validation survey that was sent to all, I think, 261 or 265,000 members around the world at the time, and we had more than 32,000 respondents. So our competency model, our HR competency model, is internationally validated and global from inception. It defines 9 competencies. One of them is called HR expertise or HR knowledge. And we assume that people in our profession have to know how to recruit, engage, and motivate, compensate employees well. And then there's 8 behavioral competencies: business acumen, critical evaluation, global and cultural effectiveness, leadership and navigation, consultation, communication, relationship management, and ethical practice. And we believe that to be effective, HR practitioners, regardless of their level, need to have these 9 elements to add value to their organizations and help the people that they lead and guide and collaborate with contribute to achieving organizational objectives.
How does HR get this message across to the population that they are there to develop people for the future rather than be a cop?
Well, HR has to deliver. HR, as I said, business acumen is one of those. The other is one of those I mentioned was critical consultation and critical evaluation. HR professionals need to be competent in managing data. They need to be competent communicators. They need to be able to effectively navigate both the conflicts as well as promote new initiatives at the leadership level, but all the way up and down the chain of command. HR serves as a business partner as well as a leader. HR doesn't need to do everything. Rather, what they need to be is coaches and effective leaders to help people throughout organizations manage other people effectively.
So let's talk about communication and the advent and impact of social media in the workplace, BYOD, and all of that. So with social connectivity in the workplace, it takes a new kind of manager, doesn't it?
It does. And we have a global expertise panel that has looked at some of the key trends or the key challenges for global HR. And every 2 years, they revisit these trends and prioritize them from 1 to 10. We just recently had a conversation in one of my sessions with the SHRM Global Expertise Panel, how technology will be applied ubiquitously in all parts of the global business and supply chains. So HR, as well as the technology, needs to keep up and change with the speed of business. At the same time, there are challenges with this constant in-your-face need to immediately respond pressure that technology places. And I believe it's Brazil that recently introduced some legislation or some regulations that if a company sends emails to its employees after hours, then and expects those employees to respond after hours, that they would be eligible for overtime pay. So what's happening in global HR is this constant pressure to do things faster, more efficiently, and communicate them more directly at the same time while people are looking for some work-life flexibility so that they can be productive at the job, but also have personal lives, wherever that may be around the world.
So how does the HR leader get business acumen without being recruited from a senior level business position and then placed into an HR role?
Well, I think one of the things is HR needs to step up the plate. And just as sometimes HR coaches people in other fields that they may want to cross-train in other functions, or they may want to have stretch assignments, HR itself needs to do that, particularly in the global field. I know one company, a major farm machinery company that is global, that has made it a requirement that everyone who wants to get to a director level in that company has to do what they call the triple three. They have to manage, the double three, two brands, two countries, and two functions. And that applies to HR as well. So HR may have to do a rotation in finance or in marketing or in operations. But similarly, the people in those other areas may have to do a rotation in HR. And then to get to the director level, someone has to work for at least 2 years, not only in their country of origin, but outside their country of origin. And then they have to be involved in managing two major product lines or two major brands. So that's one way that HR can get the skills, by looking at ways at cross-training, intentionally accepting stretch assignments, and learning the business by being in it.
So about relationship management, that's people skills, of course, but it's psychological, isn't it?
It is. I think about relationship management, has to be flexibility and openness to interacting with people, but in different ways. And not everybody responds at their best in two dimensions, meaning writing. And so the SHRM September HR Magazine issue actually has an article about the importance of FaceTime, particularly internationally. So relationship management is not only about communicating and using the technology we have, whether it's email or social media or instant messaging, but also knowing that there are certain things and certain topics that are better that might be broached personally first with a telephone call, or if possible, a face-to-face meeting. That always isn't possible in large global organizations. And then follow up in writing. The other thing that's important is understanding that, particularly for global HR practitioners in the United States, we tend culturally to think that transactions build relationships. But in most of the rest of the world and other cultures, relationships build transactions. So you have to be willing, and some people find it tedious, but you need to be willing to interact with people on their terms and other cultures. And if that means having dinner at 11 p.m. in Argentina or later, or breaking bread at different times in other cultures when a lunch meeting might be more effective than a business meeting, or a dinner meeting when dinner time may be reserved for families, it's getting both the experience and exposing yourself to ways to learn that there are some important differences across cultures, and multinational companies also have their own internal cultures. So a good global HR practitioner is going to take the time to build those skills and use them. And it's just like sports. If you are active in a sport or you exercise regularly, your muscles get stronger. If you're not, they atrophy. So being global in some ways is something that you can develop and strengthen if you practice it frequently.
So you've been recently in different countries. Tell us about your trip to, was it Brazil?
It was. I was just in Brazil in mid-August as a guest of ABRH Brazil, which is the National HR Association in Brazil that unites 22 state-level HR associations. And we were there to announce that that organization has become the 42nd international delivery partner for SHRM, and later this year, and then at a larger scale into 2016 and beyond, they will be delivering SHRM's certification preparation training in Brazil. And so it's an honor and a pleasure to be able to announce that to this conference that had about more than 3,000 registered participants and one of the largest HR trade fairs in the world in Sao Paulo. What's interesting, though, is Brazil is not the only place, though. We have a large network that includes multiple partners in the Middle East and North Africa, partners in Asia, including Vietnam, Malaysia, Singapore, and Korea, and lots of other partners throughout Latin America, Mexico and Chile and others, and even in Africa now. We now have five partners in Africa, in Ghana, Nigeria, South Africa, Kenya, and Ethiopia. Europe is developing a little bit slower, but we do have partnerships in Greece and Italy, Cyprus, Russia, Ukraine, and so we're growing around the world. So my being in Brazil was just an example of what my other colleagues who share responsibility for China, India, the Middle East and North Africa, and Latin America and the Caribbean, what they're doing as well. So it's a group effort, and we're all building a global network that will reach HR practitioners wherever they may reside with SHRM content.
So by talking about SHRM content, you're talking about what, a license deal or a cooperative deliverable?
We license a proprietary training program and materials for SHRM certification. So we have a SHRM certification preparation program. We are also licensing some of our HR seminars. So over the last, and your initial question was about what is new in SHRM, over the last few years, we've also increased the number of seminars and the content that we deliver that may not be linked to a certification exam. So we have about now 25 or 26 different topics, some of which are very specific to the U.S. or California, where there's a lot of compliance issues. But about 18 or 20 of those topics we also license to these partners so they can deliver those seminars to their members or in open enrollment programs to anyone in the HR profession who is interested in getting better knowledge, skills, and honing the 8 competencies that I mentioned. And all of our programs, the seminars I mentioned, as well as SHRM's conferences, are linked to the competency model. So when someone enrolls in a SHRM program, they know which of the one to three competencies that particular program or conference session is addressing so they can further develop and deepen and enhance their skills.
So let's jump aside now to this idea of social HR. I know this is not a specialty of yours, but you certainly have some interesting insight to the future of social HR. In other words, the new breed of manager with gamification or social media working its way through day-to-day management. So people are training will be done, I guess, using social media more and more in the workplace, not only for watching who's connected to who and what the impact of that is, not for spying, but for just seeing where centers of influence or centers of learning are within an organization, with apps being developed. So can you address this phenomenon?
it's not my specialty. But in talking to the global panel and also colleagues in SHRM, we do have a number of separate offerings that are smaller e-learning courses. We also offer webinars that are of shorter duration. And there is a trend in training and organizational development that because of technology as well as different preferences because of different generations in the workforce, that some delivery is moving to smaller chunks of time, similar to the 18 to 20-minute TED Talks. But it's not my specialty. What I can say is that it's not only that the learning is moving to technology, but HR processes are as well. So as people are trying to recruit, we're seeing more and more demand, and a few companies are starting to address how do you recruit people who want to respond using their handheld device. And so the whole challenges of delivery, whether it's getting content out or getting response for talent recruitment and acquisition, will continue to be a pressure that HR feels around the world.
Fascinating. We've been talking with Howard Wallach, global executive with SHRM. Do you want to talk about the talent meeting coming up in San Antonio or some other events?
Actually, it's in Orlando. We do have our lead HR conference coming up, yes, correct, in San Antonio in October. We also have a diversity and inclusion conference later in the year as well. For global audience, I would have them look to the future to next June when the SHRM annual conference and exhibition will be in Washington, D.C., which is a global gateway, and we're looking forward to having a large international presence. At this year's event a few months ago in June in Las Vegas, we had more than 1,200 international attendees representing close to 90 countries. I think it was 86 or 87 different locations. So that's our most global event. Certainly our smaller specialty conferences address other needs. As I said, the lead HR looks at leadership in HR, our diversity inclusion conference, and then moving into early 2016, we will have our Washington and Workplace Law Conference, and also in Washington. And in April of 2016, we will have our talent management conference in Orlando. So for any global HR practitioner, we have a large menu of options for them to find the right type of event in terms of content or size, and as well as location.
Thank you, Howard Wallach, for being our special guest today on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com, a service of GlobalBusinessNews.net. Howard Wallach, thanks. How can people get in touch with you?
Thank you, Ed, for the opportunity to join you today on the show. People can reach out to me through my email at howard.wallach, that's W-A-L-L-A-C-K, at shrm.org, and I'll be happy to respond to any questions or concerns they have.
This is Ed Cohen signing off from Washington, D.C., and Old Town in San Diego, California.
Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful